Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The following is a presentation of the Match Talk Podcast Network.
Hello, wrestling fans. It's time for the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. World Wrestling Resource was made that you as a wrestler, parent, coach, or fan can have access to all the resources of the very best in the world of wrestling. I'm three-time wrestling writer and broadcaster of the year, Jason Bryant, and I want you to join me, along with John McGovern and world champions Terry Brands and Dennis Hall, as we talk training tips, topical discussion, mental preparation, and more on the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. World Wrestling Resource is sponsored by Defense Soap and Compound Clothing. Find World Wrestling Resource on Facebook at facebook.com/World Wrestling Resource and follow us on Twitter at WWRESO and, of course, on the web at WorldWrestlingResource.com. Now on to the show as we join John McGovern, Terry Brands, and Dennis Hall. And welcome to the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. This is Episode 4, World Wrestling Resource, sponsored by Defense Soap and Compound Clothing. And before we begin, we'll let you know that the World Wrestling Resource believes responsibility, character, and leadership are the traits of a true champion. Champions become champions themselves, and as coaches, we provide resources for champions. Integrity, excellence, and teamwork are the core values of the World Wrestling Resource. Today on the call, like always, we have John McGovern, head coach at the University of Dubuque, along with world champions Dennis Hall and Terry Brands. Also joining us, Ivan Ivanov, the Bulgarian sensation. This guy knows tons about Greco-Roman wrestling. I dare say he might know just about the same amount, maybe a little bit more than Dennis Hall. We'll leave that up for a discussion later. And we're also joined by Rich Andrews and Larry Mashonda from Leader Headgear. A lot of topics to discuss today. Before we get into our gear discussion with Yvonne and Rich and Larry, we're going to talk a little bit about the rankings. The United World Wrestling rankings finally came out, although they're after the World Championships. Most of these things are as the medals go, but we noticed a lot of diversity in some of the styles, and then we noticed a lot of dominance in the other. We'll start with Coach Brands when it relates to freestyle men's freestyle wrestling. Russia, 5 number ones, traditionally been the best nation in the world. How indicative do you think the final rankings are? Obviously, the medal counts are very similar with how dominant Russia is, and what can be done, do you think, worldwide to maybe unseat the Russian Federation in men's freestyle wrestling?
5 world champs merit probably 5 number one rankings. That's where I'm at with that. I think the rankings are more about the buzz that it creates. You know, I mean, look at 57 kilo. They got 2 North Koreans in there. So, you know, and, you know, that was a big talk in the Iowa locker room yesterday. Was, well, how can they have, you know, some of this stuff they do is to create a buzz. But the Russians merit, you know, they've earned that where they're at with that. And then, you know, you got even Goygira, who's not even in the ranking, I don't think. Was he in there?
Who was that,
61
Coach?
61 kilo world champ last year. Was he even in the ranking?
I did not recall seeing him. I think he was, what, 3rd or 4th at his own national, so.
Yeah, but you're looking at a prior world champion, and then the guy that beat him, you know, is down the list a ways. And, you know, in the PRK, then they throw 2 in there at 57. So, you know, you got a definite number one in the guy that was the returning world champion and then won again this year. But, you know, I think they're just there to create a buzz from my perspective as a coach. We're looking to beat, you know, these guys, and we're looking to put our guys on the number one ranking based on what they've earned. And, you know, it's a reminder for names and who they are and that type of thing. The second question was, how do you unseat the dominance of Russia? Well, you got to wrestle, and you got to do the things that we talk about a lot. And it's easy to sit here and explain to the listener how to do that. But the bottom line is go execute every day. You got to work. You got to be on it. You got to be pounding. You got to be banging. You got to be working. You got to be studying. You got to be wrestling. You got to be drilling. You got to be throwing them Bulgarian bags around. You got to be doing pull-ups. You got to be in the weight room. You got to be on the ropes. You got to be on the hurt. You got to be doing this stuff in a way that makes sense to build you to that number one spot when it's time next September in Las Vegas. That's how you unseat the Russians.
We'll throw this next question over to Dennis and, of course, Yvonne, both of you guys with the Greco-Roman backgrounds. Every different weight class has a different country. You're seeing a lot of diversity in Greco-Roman wrestling, and Coach McGovern kind of touched on this in our notes preceding it, that the IOC, you know, obviously with the Olympic wrestling movement, still not 100%. I mean, we're in through 2020, but looking forward, the IOC might like the fact that Greco has so much diversity at the top. First of all, Yvonne, in your experiences in coming through in wrestling from a European's perspective, why is Greco-Roman much more favored in pockets of Europe?
Well, Greco is more has been more popular in Europe because of adding the Scandinavian countries. They don't have too much traditions during freestyle. I think that makes it a lot more popular, and of course all the other countries there, Russia, Bulgaria, Romania, all these former Soviet Eastern Bloc countries are all wrestling both styles. But mainly, I think adding the Scandinavian countries probably makes Greco much more stronger. I think that's in my opinion the main advantage there in Europe.
Now, Dennis, as a competitor from the American standpoint, every time you go in and, you know, in freestyle, you might be looking, okay, you know, Russia's going to be tough, Iran's going to be tough, Azerbaijan's going to be tough. You've got your power countries. In Greco, you never know who's going to be tough in these draws. I mean, how do you prepare for the draws of the World Championships and the Olympics when, you know, any guy you meet from Europe is probably going to be extremely seasoned in Greco-Roman wrestling?
Yeah, I think it's the same thing as Terry said. You do your homework. You do all the work that it takes to put yourself in a situation when those guys get tired, they bleed, they feel pain. You got to break them. It's that simple. I mean, and it comes down to doing the work, scouting the opponents as well as you can, especially with the way that the videos are out there these days. You can get a lot of tape on foreign competitors pretty easy. And I think the big thing that you have to do is just get the workouts in, you know, and find people that can help you out. As Americans, there's not a ton of places to train at an optimal level for Greco-Roman wrestling, and we need to do that. It's good to see Yvonne back in helping out and with Greco, because we need all the coaches we can get because we're at a disadvantage already.
Now, what about the take about the IOC where, you know, obviously they want more medals, which is why they've got this double bronze thing, but more medals for diverse countries has really never been a problem in Greco-Roman wrestling, as we see with, you know, just how the medals, the golds are spread out.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think my first year of competition at the World Championships, Russia was dominant. But since then, it's been a lot more spread out, which is what the IOC wants. I know they want to give countries chances to win medals, and I think with as many countries that do Greco and like the sport, it makes it more possible to have a lot of different medalists from different countries.
And, of course, we're going to touch on the women a little bit. I think everybody, even though that you guys are coaching men's freestyling in Greco-Roman, the women have been dominated by Japan since the dawn of time, since women's wrestling became a world championship sport, and they've just cleaned up on the medals for world champions this year. From what you guys have seen maybe from afar, just kind of curious on your perspective on what do you think about the Japanese women's program and how they operate. Obviously, again, you guys aren't in the women's wrestling situation as much, if at all, but just what you might maybe admire from their program. We'll start with Coach Brands.
I think that their preparation and the way that they approach matches is very, very solid. The mindset that they bring to the mat, the tenacity that they bring to the mat, and they find a way to win, much like any great competitor or a perennial winner is going to do in any sport. You know, they find a way to win, and they're trained that way, and they're trained I would say, excessively in, you know, the mental preparation side of it, you know, along it complements what they're doing on the mat. The holds and the techniques that they're doing when you watch them drill, the crispness of it is very impressive. And it's something that it's not even, oh, well, they're women and they're doing this like the men are. It's that they're doing it like a wrestler would. And that's what impresses me the most. I don't really see a separation between the two genders, but what I do see is a separation between the way that the Japanese approach the sport and the way that the, you know, even the other countries, America included, they've been, a top four, top three team for a lot of years also in there, in the mix, but really not close. And then you see Mongolia kind of latch onto that style a little bit more, or that method a little bit more, and you saw them become prominent last year and the year before, and then carrying that through. So it's really about the way they approach the match, much like a man would. There's no separation there in my mind. It's about the preparation and how they bring their fight and their tenacity and their preparation to the mat.
Yvonne, do you have any thoughts on this topic?
I'm not very familiar with the Japanese women training style. I never been to Japan, actually, but what I've just heard, Asians are extremely disciplined. Recently I was in Korea, actually. I'm getting ready for another trip to go, and I know these people are pretty much the same. I think the discipline, the dedication, the respect that they have to their coaches makes them so that I think is the key point for their success. Extremely disciplined people, respectful and dedicated hard workers. Otherwise, I haven't never been in Japan to see how actually they operate, but obviously their results are speaking for them.
Dennis Hall, anything to add?
No, Larry Marciana might have some insight on this. He's been over to Japan a lot of times as an exchange leader for Wisconsin, and he was a part that helped us bring Japanese team over to Wisconsin when I was in high school. So, and it's the same thing as the other guy said. The discipline is the key for, I think, the women's team.
Larry, do you want to touch on the maybe the cultural exchange and what you've seen in your experiences in taking teams overseas and bringing them here?
Oh, I sure would. First of all, it's really an honor to be on this podcast with Dennis and Yvonne and Terry and yourself, Jason. But the one thing that I always wanted to do was to travel overseas to see how different countries trained so that I could bring that back to my teams when I was a high school coach. And the one thing, Yvonne hit the nail right on the head, the one thing that they have there is discipline. Their training is much harder. I think that they're very, very, very disciplined in their training, and their work ethic. I guess work ethic is probably the big issue. They're willing to work, and the coaches do push them quite hard, and they accept it.
Well, it's a natural segue as we're going to keep talking with Larry and his business partner Rich Andrews. They are with Leader Headgear. You can find them on the web at leaderheadgear.com. And Larry, why don't you just tell us a little bit about the product and the idea behind the, I guess, this kind of modification or this innovation in wrestling headgear. And it's not just for wrestlers either. You've got a couple different lines, a couple different sports.
Yes, well, it all started, with myself at the university. In 3 years, we had two wrestlers that were diagnosed with the third concussion, and their careers ended. And I remember sitting there, and this young man says, "Coach, I can't wrestle anymore." The trainer said I had my third concussion, and I was watching the match with him, and I just had this awakening, like, wow, guess what, Joey, we're only protecting ears. We have to have more protection for our wrestlers. And so I brought that idea to Dale Evans, because I've known Dale for years, ever since he was a high school wrestler, and Dale said, well, I'm helping out at DeForest High School, and we have three kids sitting out right now with concussions. Let's do something about it. And we teamed up with Rich, and Rich was the an ingredient that we really, really needed. he has great expertise in this type of thing. And Rich is the one that actually came up with the contact foam that we're using. Rich came up with the design. And so we really were very fortunate to come up with this product. The thing is that Rich probably can explain more about the product, but I think that right now at this time we need to where they're all being diagnosed, and I don't know if people really know it. I don't know if Dennis or Yvonne, maybe Yvonne knew that, you know, in 1996 I underwent brain surgery from having too many concussions. But yeah. Back in our day, concussions were common and they weren't diagnosed and they weren't necessarily awful. And so, you know, I was very fortunate to have a doctor that found it and took care of it. So I really think that the object here of the whole thing is to protect and prolong the careers of our young men who wrestled, and just a little bit more protection and a lighter headgear. And Rich is really responsible for finding the contact foam and the formula there, and getting it tested and the design.
Well, let's go with that. Rich Andrews, why don't you give us a little background on yourself before you go into the actual product and let us know what maybe the idea behind the contact foam and how you integrated it, not just into wrestling, but to other sports.
Absolutely, Jason. And again, I want to echo what Larry said. It's really an honor to be on this panel today. I grew up playing football. I actually played in the NFL, but I followed wrestling very closely. I wasn't tough enough to make the wrestling squad in high school, but I have more respect for wrestlers than I do any other sport. It's just an amazing sport. The commitment that wrestlers have is second to none, and I really admire the fact how they stick together in a team sport, but it's more of an individual sport. And wrestling is definitely a tradition I'd like to see continue here in America. And just to give you a little bit more background on this, when I teamed up with Dale and Larry, I had shared the same passion trying to protect the head in football, because I know that football helmets are inadequate. And I knew there were better materials that were out there that could offer better protection for kids. But instead of trying to climb that ladder in the NFL and trying to break through there, which is absolutely almost impossible, we decided, hey, let's focus the attention to wrestling. So when Larry showed me his initial prototype that he had the kids in high school wearing, it gave me some great inspiration on what kind of a design it was that we should kind of go with. All along, we've always kept in mind that we do not want to change the intent of the game and how people wrestle. But obviously, there's going to be some sort of a trade-off when you're adding padding to the head. But our biggest thing was, let's give them something that gives them a choice, whether they wear it as a four-piece, a three-piece, or just your traditional two-piece headgear. Maybe you train during the week with it on. Maybe you compete with the extra protection off. The choice is yours. But because of the concussions that kids are getting nowadays, and now that they're taking a lot more seriously than they did when any of us were playing back when we were younger, kids are getting sidelined. And like Larry said, if we can help prolong the careers, make the sport a little bit safer, it could help grow the sport of wrestling tremendously. And that's why we're so committed to what we're doing here.
Let's turn this over to first. Let's go with Coach McGovern. Obviously, being a coach at a college program, you got guys, you got a big room, you've got a lot of guys coming in because Division III schools, you got a lot of guys that come there to wrestle because the opportunity exists. And just like every program, you're going to have guys sidelined with injuries. And one thing my high school coach taught me is we went through every practice. We were required to wear our headgear in practice. And back then, I remember wearing the old Cliff Keen, the old hard ones. You know, these things hurt when you put them on back in the day. I remember practicing with them going, man, I hate these things. But more coaches are doing that where they have to require their guys to wear headgear, not just for the ears. Now, with this concussion foam type of technology coming on, how much do you think, Coach McGovern, this is going to help, prevent concussions where a lot of them happen in the practice room?
To answer that question, basically, it's an NCAA rule that all wrestlers have to wear a headgear. So when we wrestle live, it's mandatory. So we comply with that rule, and I think it's there for a reason. And just like Larry was saying, we've lost a few wrestlers to concussions, and one of them actually occurred from one of the wrestlers hitting the back of his head on a wall. We had one of those old 5-foot wall pads, just like a lot of high schools and colleges, and you have 6-foot wrestlers. And so after that, we end up getting 6-foot wall pads. And I think those should kind of be considered too. But the key about this headgear is it actually has a foam on the back of the head Well, that might have saved his career. And the other part about it is even MMA makes it illegal to hit the back of the head. And that actually put me out for a while when one guy hit me on the back of the head. So I like that there is some protection on the back of the head in case you have an athlete, that's most athletes are getting hit on the back of the head, but it might help athletes if they've had a lot of prior concussions. And I remember when I was wrestling at Iowa, Lincoln McRivy had concussions, and he put the padding on the front of the head. And I'm not sure, maybe Terry knows this, if he was putting padding on the back, but he was kind of making a modified headgear like this. But Terry, you know if he had it on the back of that? You remember how he did that contraption?
Yeah, he did not have it on the back, but that was one of those ingenious things that, you know, Gable put together, and then these guys have just taken it to their level. And This is an awesome piece of equipment.
Now we'll go with Dennis on this one because obviously Dennis and Terry, you guys trained together, even though you were different styles of wrestling. Both of you guys had that bang the head, brawling, fighting style. And
yeah, I put this headgear on the other day, and when I got it in the mail, and I thought of Dennis and all the scraps that him and I had, and I was thinking, man, we could have used this thing because it certainly is. I mean, it's actually, you know, with the way the thing that the NCAA didn't like about the forehead pieces is that it was an unfair advantage because you could headbutt somebody without it, but now it's softer. So even if you did headbutt somebody with it, it wouldn't affect them at all. And I was thinking the same thing as staying there. You know, this thing is a pretty brilliant piece of equipment.
And if I could just echo what Dennis just said there, one of the things that we did in our design is we wanted to make sure that if a kid didn't wear it, if we were wearing it, we want to make sure that whoever's receiving that blow benefits the same way, unlike the others that are out there. So that's a great point. You know, you don't want to be putting yourself at a disadvantage by competing against a guy that's got a battering ram on his head as well. Whereas this is going to be something that nice that both people can receive the benefits from it.
Now, Rich, you had talked about the NFL. Obviously, they're taking concussions seriously. NCAA sports are taking concussions seriously. And obviously, you can't really mandate a specific piece of equipment. But if something that you guys are doing with Leader Headgear is something that maybe even other companies take forward, how do you see that as a win for the sport of wrestling?
Well, you know, it's like any other sport that's being talked about right now. Down here in Florida, where I live, the Florida High School Athletic Association just mandated that girls' lacrosse will have to wear a protective headgear next year. The way I look at it is anything that helps you prolong your career, helps prevent the little blows that you continually receive over and over again, I think it's a win-win for everybody. And I believe that wrestling right now has an opportunity to capitalize on what's going on in the NFL because the kids are not signing up for the NFL youth program. I'm sorry, for the football youth programs like they used to. I believe like nationwide it's down like 6%. So I think if wrestling can kind of figure out a way to maybe capitalize on this and show them they're being proactive in helping trying to protect the kids a little bit more, I think it's a win-win for everybody. You know, we're in this for more reasons than just a business. We feel like we need to get back to the sport. And we also feel like it's our duty now to offer as much protection as we could give without changing the way the games are played. That's our big motto. You know, you guys talk about responsibility, character, and leadership, and I love it. And our deal is we don't want to change the way you wrestle. We just want to help you to protect yourself. That's all.
Now we'll go to Yvonne. Yvonne, obviously, internationally, headgear, not something you see very often. In fact, the wrestlers that wear it are mainly from Canada and the U.S. You rarely see it in Europe. And when you were coming through, I mean, headgear, I'm assuming, was not a big deal internationally. What are your thoughts on the innovations in headgear and concussion prevention and maybe what could have happened if these things were more prevalent internationally?
Well, here, just from my own experience, last week I lost a kid here. And I lost a kid from training, from injuring his head. And I think he has a concussion. I haven't had a chance to. His parents didn't call and contact me, and I have to get back to him to see what happened. But he's not coming to practice, and he was throwing it up at the right at the during the practice. He couldn't continue, so I asked him to sit down and go check with the doctor. We in Europe, we don't have these traditions to wear the headgear. It's not a big deal if we get cauliflowers. Actually, Bulgarian wrestlers are proud to have cauliflowers. I was one of the little boys who were like, oh, I really want a cauliflower, and then later I had him. But what Larry and Richard did very well is design this headgear to protect you from concussions, which is a lot more serious problem than having just a cartilage in your ears. And of course, I mean, we want to look better, you know, maybe, and down the road don't have surgery on your ears, but it's much more serious problem if your head doesn't think straight. And what these guys did is they really well thought about this this great piece of equipment that it's so valuable, because if you lose a quality wrestler, or if you lose any of your wrestlers, it is a big problem. You put so much time into your training, and in one head injury can put your wrestler out for months, it is the bottom line. You have something to help us protect head injuries. That's where my position is. About the ears, I'm not really too much about that, but because I just back my background. But what these guys design here is extremely important to for the head injuries. Besides also ears, of course, but mainly the concussions. It's a great piece of equipment.
Yeah, that was my sentiment exactly, Yvonne, is that, you know, watching a wrestling match and seeing the kid get a concussion and realize that the rules, the headgear that we presently have in the rules only protect the ears and not the rest of the head. It was an awakening for me, and I think we really need to do this. And the strange thing that I find, we've only been selling our headgears live on the internet for a week. However, in 1 week we have 19 states that have ordered, and the phone calls that I get are from parents who have had young wrestlers who have already had a concussion, and they want them to wrestle and continue to wrestle without having any reoccurrences. So this was an awakening to me now. Is that, you know, like yesterday I had a parent call, hey, where is it? I need it. My kid, I won't let him wrestle without it. And to think that the demand right now is from most of the kids who have already had the problem. And I think that the important thing is to prevent it with an extra layer of protection and take care of it and prolong their careers, not to prevent another one.
I want to go to Dennis on this, because one thing that I've noticed that parents, Rich touched on this with the football signups, is there are two things now preventing kids, parents from signing their kids up with wrestling. One, I think a lot of the mothers are worried about their sons and daughters with their cauliflower ear. And now with the concussion thing, they don't want their kid in a combat sport where they're going to get hurt and maybe have, you know, long lasting effects. So from a kids and a youth coaching perspective, this is a win-win concept.
You know, anytime you're protecting kids' heads, to me, it makes sense. I teach a physical style to my youth wrestling club. I tell them to snap hard, you know, and they're always banging heads. And I think that something like this can prevent, you know, kids from getting hurt, prevent a concussion, which prolongs a career. And to me, you know, I think why wasn't this invented a long time ago is my question. You know, with all the injuries we've had with heads, I mean, I've had two concussions at least myself, you know, just from getting hit in the head. And, you know, anytime you can help kids out and it's good product, I don't see why people won't buy it. I think it's probably one of the next best items out there right now that's going to change the sport a little bit and keep it much safer.
Well, that's a great testimony from somebody who I have a lot of respect for.
You know, we all do, and actually the whole world, and those these gentlemen that we're talking to, and it is a great testimony, and we thank you very much.
I can add more thing here if I have a chance. Jason, another thing here, coming from Europe, also I think the advantage what we have there is the mats that we have, a lot more softer than the American mats. We work there. We train mostly on compound foam. I'm just a little bit more familiar with the specifications on the mat. So what I see here, the mats that we have here in America are much harder. When I first came to train with Dennis in 92, and first time I came to America, he took me to this wrestling room, and we had to unroll those mats in Hartwell, Wisconsin, and in Stevens Point. Man, I just like, are we going to wrestle on this thing? Nobody wanted to get thrown on those hard mats. It's like, we were wrestling with Dennis sometime on the grass in his father-in-law's parents' house, and the grass in America it's much thicker and it's much softer than the wrestling mats. So now, I mean, thinking about that, this is why I see it's a big problem, because the mats here, I can tell you, I mean, I'm a coach with a lot of experience and competitor. They're a lot different, a lot harder mats than in Europe. So the headgear here, it is a must thing to do, because it's not something that we have more control. It's less expensive. We can buy this and protect our team. Mats are expensive. We will not change the system for a while. So that's something that I wanted to mention.
That is so true. The European mats and are so much softer. I never thought of that, but it's so true. And matter of fact, our mats that we use at the collegiate level and the high school level in this country are not approved by FILA, which is the international governing body of wrestling. So most of the mats in Europe are all FILA approved, and they're much softer. Good point, Yvonne.
Now, one thing I want to bring up before we move on to the workout gear that Yvonne has with the souplesse bags is, Rich, this is going to border on the level of science, which some of our wrestling people will be like, what, stats? I mean, we like counting number of falls and wins and things like that and win percentage, but what are some interesting things that you found in the test results throughout the variety of your products that make this absolutely a must-have?
So when we first started doing these designs, Larry was probably one of the most critical people of the bunch. He didn't like this part because it didn't have enough of a radius on it, and I felt like I was designing handles that guys can grab a hold of, so we go back to the drawing board. But with all that in mind, the benchmark that I wanted to use was there's an ASTM standard for impacts, and mostly it's done on the mat level. And headgear really doesn't have to pass any of those tests. But Major League Baseball has a similar problem where their pitchers are getting hit in the head with the 80-plus mile-an-hour fastball to the head. So what we did was we designed our part to pass the Major League Baseball frontal impact test of 80 miles an hour. And we kind of backed down from there a little bit because it was kind of overkill. And our product exceeds any standard that's out there right now. And that's all been certified through an independent lab. It's not, even though we do our own in-house testing, we have a third party that can, you know, certify that. So right now we feel like we're offering the best protection that we can, and we will continue to keep advancing our material and our design so that we can maybe get even better as time comes about. But we're not going to just settle as, okay, this is it. No, we're going to continue to keep getting better and better. And I know that you know, a lot of people don't understand the impacts, but the severity index is how we're measuring these impacts now. And if you're above the 1200 index, that's not good. We were down at the 780 level, which is very good. So even the people that did the testing were very impressed with what we were doing.
Now we'll move on to another one of our resources, and this is where we've got the Bulgarian master, Yvonne, with us. And you've been using these Bulgarian throwing bags, these training bags. You can find them at souplesse.com. That's SUPLES.com. And Yvonne, tell us about how you came up with your product and where you've seen it beneficial the most in wrestling training.
Well, the Bulgarian bag is something very simple piece of equipment. I mean, pretty much, and we made it very durable. I mean, I already, next year will be 10 years since I created the Bulgarian bag, but the most unique thing about the back is the training and the knowledge how to use it and how to get the most out of it. Everything. I mean, it's a long story. I posted some of it on the website, people to see where I came from about this idea. But it's the main thing is I'm a coach with always looking to bring something new to my athletes to make the training more productive, and also as a coach to make my job easy, simple for the athletes, because everybody is using the same tool at the same time. I really value the team training, the team efforts. It builds a great atmosphere in the room by having all the people, all the athletes using the same piece of equipment. The main task for me as a wrestling coach was to imitate wrestling techniques, throws, and target areas such as grip training, muscular endurance training, explosive training with the legs, and with one very simple piece of equipment. Yeah, pretty much that's where I'm coming from about the Bulgarian backs. But overall, the Bulgarian backs are just one piece of equipment for me. I have four more other training systems that I also love the same as I love the Bulgarian back. I just am one of those coaches who don't believe in doing his job in the naked wrestling room, if I can say that way. I like to have equipment. I believe I have quite experience with that, and I have accomplished some much faster results. The system here in America, especially Greco-Roman wrestling, it's quite challenging here. We all know we get the wrestlers to wrestle full-time Greco once they graduate in high school, and the pieces like a Bulgarian back, like the wrestling dummies that I redesigned and then was able to develop different dummies for my needs. The high-intensity rope training system, working with the elastic bands, you know, everybody pretty much knows the bands, that they're very effective, but I was able to develop this training tool much on another higher level, and now the new one, the Suplex Fitball that came recently, the Gladiator Wall is the foundation. Basically, now I'm just continue to improve and make our equipment much more durable. And I'm excited because I'm still in the wrestling room. I just got back here from practice and did the morning strength and conditioning workout. And I feel it's a luxury to have all this equipment in my gym and be totally in control of doing my strength and conditioning workout, because nobody knows my athletes the way I know them, and I know how much to push them. It's great to have a strength conditioning coach, but most likely in the private clubs, we have to pay another person to do that, and not everybody can afford that. Also, are they in good communication with the head wrestling coach? Or are they just going to come there and hire someone to run the show run the practice for 1 hour? And then leave, and he doesn't care how hard you push the athletes the day before. So I really believe that equipment like Bulgarian back and some other Suplex equipment, the other four systems that I have created, are very, very helpful, not only for the athletes but also for the coaches.
Now, Coach Brand, so when you were spending time out there at the Olympic Training Center with the National Freestyle staff, these bags were in the wrestling room, and what is your experience with the Bulgarian throwing bags?
They're the best. There's nothing compares. Another thing that is important to us here at Iowa and when I was in Colorado was the fact that you can put them on the mat. You can't really throw a barbell on a mat with weight on it without damaging your surface and getting into some serious dollar repair. And what Yvonne has done here is really remarkable. And from our perspective, it has changed, in my opinion, it has changed the people that get involved into this kind of a study where they're learning about this stuff and watching Yvonne's videos and maybe even rubbing shoulders with him personally face-to-face, it's going to change the way that they view their conditioning programs. The things are so wrestling-specific. The skills and the exercises that he teaches are so wrestling-specific, and they're evolving every day. You know, some of the things that we think that we're doing, and then all of a sudden it's on a video where Yvonne had already done it, you know. So it's a really cool thing to see from that perspective, being able to use that in a wrestling, I guess, the way that your body moves. Like the gut wrench dummy, that's ingenious. That's an ingenious piece of equipment. The obvious throw dummies and the way that they hold up and the supple material that's soft, it's not scratching your body, and it's not like you're picking up something that's too heavy. It comes in sizes that are weight specific. And he's got all the charts and the things where you can order without getting burned, where you have to order something too big to make sure your kid grows into it. You know, the price is right and on and on and on. You know, I mean, I couldn't say enough good things about that. We've been using it for, well, probably since it came out, because, you know, when Yvonne was getting involved, he brought it out to Colorado and put me through a couple workouts that really tested and taxed my cardiovascular and endurance.
Dennis, what if a product like this was around when you were coming through? How much more do you think you would have benefited in a training situation?
That's the thing. There's not enough products out there right now for wrestling. I think, his bag is, I had the team when I was coaching up in Marquette using the bag, the Bulgarian bag, and you want to see guys get tired and get stronger, put them on a bag. I think he's got a lot of great ideas, and it does help, you know, being able to control that as a coach, because you know how hard you push them in practice. And if you want to kind of break somebody but yet push them through it, it's a great tool to be able to do that.
You know, the thing that, you know, Dennis is talking about there with, you know, there's not enough equipment, this and that, there's really, you know, and you can go out and get a workout on a tree or a rock. And that's understood, I think, by any of the great minds in wrestling. But the things that Yvonne brings and the new ideas, you know, it keeps it fresh. It keeps kids wanting to come back to see what's going to be there today. What's Yvonne going to do for me today? What are we going to do with the Hertz system today? You know, those are the keys to keeping that youth excited. And maybe that's why, you know, football is so popular in America, is because, you know, you got all these different perspectives or positions. You have all these different ways to do something. You have all these different plays. And we as coaches don't do enough to keep that interest alive in the youth. And what Yvonne does from that perspective, not even talking about from an elite level, obviously, but from that youth perspective, and you get on those videos with him and you see those youths and they're counting out and they're doing the push-ups, you know, and they got the new thing that I saw where you have the wheel method where you have the thing in the middle there and all the Hertz are coming off like in a spoke and everybody's doing them together. I mean, these are things that are team building and things that are, you know, just unique to the sport of wrestling, things that will promote, you know, within your grassroots arena.
All right, we'd like to thank our guests, Rich Andrews and Larry Mashonda from Leader Headgear. Again, more information about their product at leaderheadgear.com. And Ivan Ivanov, or as he said on the Martha Stewart show, Ivan Ivanov, or whatever, you know, whatever you want to say Ivan's name, I think you just answer to Ivan, his Bulgarian throwing bags, his Hertz system, which you heard Coach Brands talk about, that stands for High Intensity Rope Training System. All that information on souples.com. Again, that's souples.com. And I'd like to thank you for listening to Episode 4 of the World Wrestling Resource Podcast.
Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper?
a woo-hoo-er, a hand clapper, a high-fiver. I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.